Amen. I'm glad I know that. Amen. For a fact that when the roll's caught up yonder, my name's on that roll. Amen. Jesus said, rejoice not because the spiritual subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is recorded in heaven. Amen. And I'm glad I know my name's on that roll. And so when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be able to say present. Amen. And be there when that happens. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. I appreciate, by the way, appreciate the choir singing and the congregational singing of the songs we've had today. Has been a real blessing to my heart. And it's a real blessing to be able to gather back together in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Been a good week this week. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. And looking forward to what He's going to do in the days ahead. Amen. And amen. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8. We're going to finish up this letter to the church at Smyrna today. We've looked at it several different ways. We're going to finish this up today, this morning, by the help of the Lord. And the Bible said, verse number 8, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Doug Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we begin thanking you for praising you for the privilege and ability to be able to come before the throne of grace.
Yes, Lord.
And pray that you would just guide and direct in the services here this morning. Help Brother Shepherd as he stands.
Help us, Lord.
Thank you for the message you've laid upon his heart. I pray that you speak to our hearts through the Word of God. I pray for Sister Hall that you give wisdom and direction concerning
yes. This morning. Yes, Lord.
Well, thank you for it. May I ask you to pray these things in Christ's
name. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate the Lord, how that He guides us through these studies, and sometimes it's teaching, and other times it's preaching, sometimes it's a little bit of both, and I appreciate, though, that how that He guides us along and leads us along in studying this. We're looking, as I said, at this last part of the letter to the church at Smyrna. I mentioned to you earlier that this is the smallest, this is the shortest letter written to any of the churches that He wrote of these seven. And I mentioned to you that we are looking for five things in each of these verses, or in each of these letters, I should say, to the churches. We're looking for the address, and we mentioned that, the admiration, we mentioned that, the admonition. And I made mention that this church does not have an admonition. Christ does not admonish them or reprove them of anything in this letter. And then we looked at the advice, and we've covered those things today. We're ready to look at the advantage, and this is that which Christ promises for those that overcome. That which Christ promises for those that obey His Word and do take His recommendations and do what He says to do. In each of these letters, Christ produces a reward, if I could say it that way, for those who heed His advice and alter their behavior. Amen. In this case, Christ stipulates that the requirement for this reward is that the contender must be faithful unto death. You see that phrase in verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death. Now, I've said this a few times in the past that we get excited about beginnings. Beginnings are wonderful, but beginnings not near as important as ending. I grew up in Wilkes County. Wilkes County is the home of NASCAR racing, where it was began. And they do have a racetrack, but nothing, they don't race on it today. And I'm not promoting racing, but in the racing mentality, it is a little bit important who is on pole position, who gets to start out first. But that's not what carries the news at the end of the day.
Right.
What carries the news at the end of the day is how they finished. Amen. Amen. When I get on in line to get on an airplane, I've always thought it was interesting that you get on an airplane at a place called a terminal. If you think about that, if somebody's got a terminal illness, it's not usually good. But you get on a plane at a place called a terminal, and I'm always interested and hope that we have a uneventful takeoff. Amen? That we have an uneventful flight. But the most important thing is that we land good. Amen? And so that's what it is in this Christian life. Our Lord is saying to them, now you've started out good, you're running good, He's got good things to say about it, but He said, I am watching how you're gonna finish this race. Amen. Amen. Paul talked about pressing towards the mark. Paul talked about forgetting those things which are behind and striving on. Listen, Paul had crossed some bases. Paul had made some laps. He'd done some mighty good things in his race of life, but he wanted to make sure that he finished right. Amen. Our Lord said in this text, He said, I am watching to see how you finish this thing. And so He's talking about the end of life and some rewards at the end of life. And the reward is to the contender that finishes being faithful unto death. Amen. So let's look at these statements for a few moments. I've got five things that I notice in these statements in verse 10 and verse number 11 dealing with being faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life, and dealing with the fact that he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death in verse number 11 as well. First of all, I want you to notice a crown of life in verse number 10. A crown of life. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now let me just say, first of all, the crown of life cannot be salvation. Eternal life. Many of the commentators say that that does mean I'm going to give you eternal life. But eternal life is not a reward or a prize that is granted for faithfulness.
Right. Right.
Amen. Rather, eternal life is grace. Amen. It's grace. Amen. And then the grace in that is given to us and allowing us then to turn from our sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And trust Him as our Lord and Savior and be washed from our sins. But these people that He's talking to here have already been saved. They've already become saints. He's calling them saints. They already have eternal life. So this crown of life cannot be talking about eternal life. Amen. This crown of life is a reward for faithfulness unto death. He makes it plain. Secondly, this is just common sense. How do you promise somebody, now if you can hang on till death, then I'll give you life. If they don't already have life. In other words, if you can come through the door, then I'll unlock it. It don't happen that way, does it? The door's got to be unlocked and open so they can come in. And then you can say, all right, I'll leave the door unlocked. Well, for a person to have a crown of life waiting for them out there, they must already have life waiting on them out there somewhere after death. Amen. And so these people are overcomers, not just overcomers of death, but overcomers of life. They've got life waiting on them on the other side. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But I noticed that this reward, this crown of life, is a garland or a crown, a diadem that is given to those that overcome. He's saying that very plainly, that they are faithful unto death and He'll give them a crown of life. In verse 11, talks about them being overcomers. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, these overcomers do not necessarily have to be martyrs. He's talking in this book, this letter to Smyrna, about martyrs. They're going to be tried. They're going to, some of them die. We talked about Polycarp, who was burned at the stake and did die. We know that he was the pastor of the church at Smyrna at one time. Whether or not it was at this time, but I believe that it was personally. But there were martyrs in that church. But Jesus is not saying you've got to be a martyr in order to get a crown of life. But He's saying you've got to be faithful unto death in order to receive this crown of life. Amen. In other words, he's talking to the pastor, the angel of the church, and he's saying to that angel of the church, that pastor, he said, you gotta keep preaching the truth, and you gotta stay faithful to the truth, and you gotta stay faithful to the Lord if you're gonna get this crown of life. Amen. He said to the church members, writing to the angel that is in the church, so to that church, he said to those members, you've got to be faithful to church, you've got to be faithful to the Lord, you've got to be faithful to the Word of God, and then I'll give you a crown of life if you stay faithful unto death. So it just makes sense that he's saying the way we gain the victory is by being faithful. Amen. Faithful unto Christ. And whatever persecutions come, whether it's death because of our faith, but death's coming to us all some way or another, right? And so he said, whether it's death at a martyr stake or whether it's a natural death, we might say, then he said, just be faithful to death and I'll give you a crown of life. Now, this promise is to those who would not yield their principles when they were opposed and persecuted. Look at verse number, we're still in verse number 10, all right? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, that your faith may be tried, that your persistence may be tried. Whether or not you're going to stay true, God is going to try you to see whether or not you'll stay true. Amen. God's going to allow the devil to try you. God's going to allow the world to try you. And he's going to prove whether or not you'll stay true. And so Jesus said the promise is to those that don't yield their principles, those that don't give in to the flesh and give in to the world and the devil, but they stay true to God and to Christ until the end. Those are the ones that get this reward. Amen. These that get this reward are those who will be triumphant when others apostatize. Amen. They'll go out from us. John said in John's little book, he said they went out from us because they were not of us. And he said they went out from us that it might be proven that they were not of us. So here's where he's at. He said there's going to be some, and Brother Bell touched on it in Sunday school this morning. We've all seen it. We've seen it time and time again. I've seen it everywhere I've ever been. And whether I was a pastor or I was visiting a church, there are times that people get crossways with God or crossways with one another and they get away. And if they're not careful, they apostatize, which means they turn their back on what they said they believed. And they're 10 times worse off in the end than they were beginning. Amen. And the reason is because they turned their back on the truths that they know is truth. And when you turn your back on the truth, you're facing lies and you'll believe all kinds of lies. Matter of fact, the Bible said, Paul said to Timothy, he said that they're going to turn their ears from the truth and they will be turned to fables. And it's amazing to me what people will believe and the foolishness that people will believe when they refuse to believe the truth. Amen. But there's some that don't apostatize. It's amazing. You can sit on a pew And I'll use this front pew as the illustration of these young men sitting here, and half of them can leave and half of them can stay. They's hearing the same truth.
Right, yeah.
Some of them say, I'm not getting anything. The others are getting fed from the Word of God. Amen. What's the difference? Well, it may be appetite. Amen.
Right.
It may be the difference. But when some do apostatize, Jesus said, don't let that affect you adversely to the point that it causes you to wander or you to fail. He said, you stay faithful to death and there will be a reward. Amen. Amen. So these people that he's talking about that stay faithful to death, I thought about it. In one sense, they are martyrs. They may not have to die for the Lord physically, but they've died out to this life. They've given their life. Instead of living for themselves, they're going to live for Jesus until he comes. That's being faithful unto death. Amen. They have given up their rights of revenge. They've given up their rights of anger. They're given up their rights to have their way. And they've said, Lord, I'll follow you. Amen. They've chosen to live for Christ. They've chosen to love through Christ. Amen. Amen. I told Brother Troy this morning that I was listening to Brother Ronnie Simpson this morning as we were preparing to come, and he made a statement towards the end of his message. It was a tremendous statement. It just opened up a light to me that I'd never seen before. I believe it was there. That he talked about when Peter said, how many times do I forgive my brother? And the Lord, he said, still 7 times. The Lord said, did I say 7 times? He said, I say 70 times 7. And I've wondered about that. Why did he say 70 times 7? That's 490 times. And by the way, somebody in a day. Peter said, how many times a day do I forgive my brother? 7 times, the Lord said, I didn't say 7 times, I said 70 times 7. Here's what Brother Simpson said. Brother Simpson said 70 times 7 is a thing in the Bible. Daniel saw all of prophecy and the life of Christ dealing with Israel mounted up in 70 weeks at 70 times 7. I'd never seen that before. I knew it 70 weeks. I never recognized that that is 70 times 7. And here's what he said. He said in alluding that and getting a teaching out of that, he said, Jesus, in that 70 weeks, the end of that, of course, Messiah was cut off. He's going to come back. You've got the 7 years of tribulation is the last week of the Messiah that he's dealing with there, and then, or dealing with Israel, and then he's going to return. And here's what Brother Simpson said. He said, in other words, Jesus was telling Peter, you just keep forgiving them until I get back, and when I get back, I'll straighten it all out. Amen. Well, here's some people in this church at Smyrna that our Lord is saying to them, if you'll surrender your rights to me, you'll surrender your life to me, and you'll be faithful not just on Sunday, but you'll be faithful till death, then I'll give you a crown of life. Amen. Live through Christ, love through Christ, and forgive through Him. Amen. So I notice the crown of life. Number two, I notice life after life. Let's see that. Be thou faithful unto death. We think that's a period, right? But that ain't a period. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, is that talking about he's going to come by their casket and put a crown on their head while they're laying dead in the casket? We're talking about flowers today in the Sunday school. No, he's not talking about their death. He said, faithful unto death, comma, and after death. That's what he's saying. That's right there. After death, I'm going to give thee a crown of life. So I see that these men had life after life. Amen. And I'll say this, life is better after this life. Amen. There is a better life after this bitter life that we're living down here. Amen. He assures the believer that there is life after life. Amen. He promises us that there is a life to come in which we'll be free from sorrow. We'll be free from sickness. We'll be free from suffering. We'll be free from slander. We'll be free from shame. We'll be free from sin. And we'll be free from Satan. Amen. I'm telling you, it sounds like a pretty good life after this life. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord's telling this crowd, you may face persecutions. It may be hard now and it may get worse, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to get better after you die. Amen. Life after life. This overcomer, though poor in this life, is going to be rich in the realms of glory in life after life. He's going to be wearing a crown. Amen. Though subjected to overwhelmingly evil governmental officers. I'm talking about men that come in and they're hunting them. You see that in verse number 10. These governmental officers are hunting them down. They're tracking them. They're hounding them. They're terrorizing them. They're taking everything they've gotten. They're locking them up. They're slandering them. All kinds of things that are going. But even though they've been hounded by these overwhelmingly evil governmental officers in this world, there's coming a kingdom in which they'll not be hounded, but they'll be reigning with Christ. They'll be the ones with the crown on their head. Amen. They'll be the victors on that day is what he's saying. Amen. And so he's saying that even though in this life you may be mocked and ridiculed, yet in that life you'll be admired and rewarded for your faithfulness in that life after life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Much could be said about this eternal life, which I'm here calling life after life. Those who have saved, or who have been saved, do not have to wait till death to begin living eternal life. Amen. Amen. I remember there was an old preacher that, when I was a boy growing up, he's an old man, and everybody in the county, the community there where I grew up knew him very well. He'd been a very faithful man. But I remember hearing him pray, and every time when he'd end his prayer, here's what he'd say. He'd say, and Lord, I hope at the end of this life to have eternal life waiting for me. And Lord, I hope that at the end of this life to have eternal life waiting for me. Well, if you've been born again, then you already have eternal life. You don't have to wait till you die. Eternal life don't start when you die. Eternal life starts when you get born again. Amen. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Amen. You get saved by the grace of God. You get eternal life. And so we have that eternal life. Since we have that eternal life, we can be assured that death for this body is not the end of us. Hallelujah. We've got hope beyond the grave. Amen. Amen. We don't have to wait until after this life to really live. Amen. We can have real life. Amen. So I notice a crown of life. Number two, I notice life after life. Number three, I notice a kingdom life. In verse number 10, he says, and mentions that crown of life, and I'm not going to stay on this a long time, but it appears obvious to me that these promises made to those who overcome in all of these various churches have a common correspondence, that they all have a blending together of the kingdom, whether it be the millennial reign or the New Jerusalem. It has the idea that blend these together, as we noticed when we looked at the first church there, at the church at Ephesus. Look back with me at verse number 7 of chapter 2, and he says to him, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And we talked about that. That tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God is not talking, again, it's not talking about obtaining eternal life, but it's talking about having access to the throne of God. In that millennial, he's got access. And that corresponds with chapter 22. Turn back real quickly. Revelation chapter 22. And I'm just showing you how that these things correspond. These rewards correspond with the New Jerusalem and the millennial kingdom. Chapter 22, verse number 2. In the midst of the street of it. This is the New Jerusalem that he saw come down. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. So you're going to have access to that tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Look at verse number 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now again, that's not talking about salvation, because salvation doesn't come by keeping the commandments. That's talking about a reward. And that reward has to be dealing with the millennial kingdom or the life in the New Jerusalem. In comparing these verses, when we looked at this previously, we came to the conclusion, and I believe it's very obvious, that Christ is promising to those that overcome, He's promising them a gift or a reward for their faithfulness. So you might ask the question, you might say, why would anybody who's going to live forever need or want access to the tree of life? What kind of reward would that be? Well, my answer is to point you back to what he says about these overcomers in verse number 14, that he might have the right to enter in through the gates of that city, which is the New Jerusalem and the throne of God, and that this tree of life grows on both sides of the river, according to verse number 2, and that river proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. So it shows me that these overcomers have been granted the ability or the privilege or the right to enter into the throne. And what happens at the throne? That's where reigning takes place. Now we're going to notice that he says in verse number 10, this crown of life, it's being given to the overcomers. A crown is won by rulers. Amen. And so they are rewarded the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom. Amen. So that's the kingdom life. Amen. I do it A, B, C, D. This is D. Number four, however you're done, number them. Look at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So, not only do we notice a crown of life, and we notice life after life, and we notice kingdom life, but we notice there's a second death. There's a second death. This reference right here in Revelation 2:11, this is the first reference in all the King James Bible of that phrase, the second death. First time it's mentioned. It's never mentioned in any other 65 books of the Bible. Just this one. And right here in verse number 11, it's the first time it's mentioned. King James Bible. It's called the second death. This statement, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saved. He said, if you overcome, let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, not just at Smyrna, but at Ephesus, and at Thyatira, and at Pergamos, and all the churches, at Island Ford Baptist Church. If you overcome, you'll not be touched by the second death, is what he's saying. And so here's what he's saying. He is assuring the suffering saint that we may have torment down here, but this is all the torment we're ever going to have. Hallelujah. And when this life is over, our suffering is over. When this life is over, our sorrows are over, thank God. Amen. Amen. The devil may pursue us throughout our life, but when this life is over, oh, saying we can kiss the devil goodbye. Hallelujah. Amen. We're heading out of here. Amen. And I don't intend on kissing him. I intend on kicking him. Don't you? Amen. 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 Well, soldiers and officers of the governments of this world that are antagonistic to Christ and to Christianity may stalk us and persecute us throughout our lifetime here on earth. But when this life is over, they can stalk us no more. Amen. They can chase us no more. They cannot follow us where we're going. Amen. Amen. It's really, it's like Jesus said to Pilate, and we could say it to these that come against us. He said to Pilate, he said, you can do nothing unless it were given thee of my Father. Amen. Amen. We're in His hand. We can trust Him. And all, and let's say they put us on a cross. Let's say they crucify us and they kill us. That's all they can do. And when this life is over, we will be the victors. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Some of these saints right here in this church might have been forced to face the literal flames of persecution and martyrdom. They may have literally been burned at the stake, but Jesus is saying, this body is all that's going to burn. Your glorified body will never burn. Your eternal body will never burn. Amen. The second death has no touch or claim on those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. This statement here is closely aligned with the statement about the overcomers going into the millennial reign. And I can show you that. Look at chapter 20 again. Comparing these. Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 20, verse number 6. Chapter 20, verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. That's the second time that phrase is used. And again, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people. And he's saying to saved people, those that have part in the first resurrection, they're blessed and they're holy in the fact that the second death hath no power. He says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Going back to that crown is for reigning with Christ. Amen. And so he's saying the second death won't touch you. You will not burn in hell. You'll reign with Christ on the throne. Amen. Amen. Those that have stood faithfully against the agents of the devil and the enemies of the faith will one day be rewarded for their faithfulness. Amen. He is rewarding them with a triumphal entry into the millennial reign. Amen. The millennial kingdom of Christ. And He gives them a crown of life. That crown is to be worn for 1,000 years. I believe there'll be a day we'll take our crown down and we'll cast it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. 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 But I don't believe we'll do that on day number one. I believe that'll have to be after the millennial reign. I'll tell you why I believe that. It's because when the bridegroom gives his bride a ring, he don't want her throwing it at his feet. He wants her wearing it and showing everybody that she belongs to him. Amen. She wears that ring. She throws that ring around. She glasses. What do you say? Let's it catch the light and let's everybody see that ring. You know why? Because she is thankful that her bridegroom loves her so much that he has betrothed her and said she's going to be his. I'm telling you, for 1,000 years while the world is burning in hell and while the devil is bound in hell, we'll be flashing the glories of God and wearing our diadem and wearing our crown saying thank God for Jesus that washed us in His own blood. Amen. And put us in His beloved. Amen. Amen. I believe that can be seen still in Revelation chapter 20. We read verse 6. Jump back to verses 4 and 5. Let me get there myself. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Here's martyrs. And by the way, these martyrs were beheaded. Rome crucified their fellas. But Islam beheads theirs. Amen. So who's he talking about? Well, I believe we can see. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And then he goes on to say they're blessed because the second death has no part on them if they're part of that first resurrection. Amen. Again, he rewards these overcomers. They have the privilege of reigning with Christ in his kingdom. But not only that, they miss the second death. Amen. Now, here's my last thing. This is E or 5, whichever way you count it. Verse number 11, I notice a crown of life in verse 10. Life after life in verse 10. Kingdom life in verse 10. And then this, the second death having no touch on us. But I want you to notice number 5. I want you to notice there is death after death for those that don't have life after life. There's death after death. This phrase, the second death, is found only 4 times in the King James Bible. 4 times. It is easily understood to mean eternal death. If the second life, first birth produces a birth, a life that is bound for death. The second birth produces an eternal life, right? We recognize that. So people that don't have the second birth don't have eternal life. They're going to face the second death, which is eternal death. It just makes sense. And we see it real plainly in these statements. So this second death is eternal death in the lake of fire. Sometimes we call that hell. Hell is in the center of the earth, and hell is more like the county jail. But one day hell is going to be brought out and is going to face Christ in the judgment, and hell, death and hell, and all those whose names are not found written in the book of life are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, which is eternal death. Amen. And I would argue with some men say there's no fire in hell. Well, even if I could give you that, I can't give you that. I believe there is fire in hell. But I know that eternal death, where hell's headed, there's fire there. It's a lake of fire. Amen. Now, we've looked at the first 2 references of this phrase already in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at the second 2, the final 2 references. Again, chapter 20 of the book of Revelation gives you the third reference, verse number 14. Let's back up to look at verse number 11 so we can read and get the context. Let's back up to verse 10. I just like verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And I say, glory to God. Amen. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake. By the way, let me stop just a minute. When we heard the news that they had got the mastermind of that bombing or that brutal slaying massacre over there in France, we heard they got the mastermind. Listen, I am not glad that man's in hell. I am glad they brought him to justice. But I'm telling you, there's a devil meaner than that devil. There's a devil meaner than any Hitler devil. And that's the devil himself, Satan himself. And we will rejoice when the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Amen. And in this text, he's going to be bound. And for 1,000 years, he's going to be cast into that lake of fire. Let's read again. Verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I, by the way, no hiding place on that day. Amen. Verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Here's our third reference, this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the first two references of the second death, he said to the saint, you can rejoice that that death has no hold on you. You'll not be touched by it. You'll not be tormented by it. Amen. You'll not spend time there because you've been saved by the grace of God. And you have been an overcomer by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
But now he's saying those that are not overcomers. Those that have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose names are not written in the book of life are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Look at chapter number 21, verse number 8. Again, the last and final statement about the second death. Verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. So he says, listen, hell is where the person goes that dies without Christ. They go to hell. But on that judgment day, God's going to bring hell out of the center of the earth. Earth is going to flee away. It's all going to be gone. There's no hiding place on that day. And on that day, they're going to stand before God and they're going to hear their awful doom. And it's not just for 1,000 years. And it's not just for 2,000 years or 6,000 years. But they're going to go there forever and ever, day and night. Their torments are going to ascend up and the smoke of their torments are going to ascend up. Day and night forever and forever is what the Bible says. It shows us the eternal home of the damned. Amen. The eternal home of the damned. Someone has said that God may have chosen to call this eternal damnation the second death because death is the most fearful thing that humans can face. Because we don't understand it. Amen. We can face a lot of things and get through it. But when we think about death, death sometimes torments people's mind. God saying this eternal death is going to be torment beyond your mind and imagination. Amen. Sometimes fearful thoughts, the knowledge of death comes in. God said here, the knowledge that there's going to be an eternal death, a second death, ought to cause us to fear. Here's some things I put. I've got four things here real quickly comparing death and the second death. Death cuts us off from life. The second death cuts us off from eternal life. Amen. No hope of eternal life when you're experiencing eternal damnation. Death puts an end to all our hopes here. The second death puts an end to all our hopes for eternity. Death is often associated with terrors and alarms. But the second death is exceedingly terrible and alarming. And lastly, death might come unexpectedly. But it's coming assuredly to all of us. While the second death captures many people unexpectedly, but it's coming assuredly to all those who do not repent. That's what he's saying. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Just as certainly as there is life after life for the saint of God, there is death after death for the sinner. Are you ready? Are you ready? Child of God, are you living in such a way that you can enter into the kingdom? I'm talking about that you're overcoming, you're being faithful unto death. Are you ready for the crown? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in these moments of seriousness and solemnity. Dear God, that we'd consider not just our life, but our eternal life. Father, I pray you'd draw according to thy perfect will. Help people trust in Thee, not in anything else, but in Thee alone. Father, I pray, do the work of the Holy Ghost. Get the glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, this altar is open.